Your folks, you folks are important. You're the reason we do this program, and we appreciate hearing from you. We really do. Thanks again for being with us here in the Guy James Show today. Don't forget, we're part of the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director. Be sure and catch his show Saturday night here on the Head On Radio Network. And remember, you've heard from the radical, right? Now all that's left is the truth. See you later, gang.
It is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out.
This is the Quality News Network. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down more than 50 points. We'll have the closing numbers coming up in our business segment. A congressional report on the progress in Iraq finds that at least 13 of the 18 benchmarks to judge the Iraqi government's performance have not been met. The Pentagon is asking for a revision of the Government Accountability Office's assessment. A panel released its investigative report today on the Virginia Tech massacre in which 31 people were killed by a student gunman. It found that if the university had responded faster to warn students that the killer was on the loose, lives could have been saved. Virginia's Governor Tim Kaine said, quote, "the system failed in response to the communication problems that occurred that day." The United Nations Nuclear Agency says that Iran is expanding its uranium enrichment program, but is producing less nuclear fuel. U.S. officials insist that Iran's nuclear program is for the production of weapons, not for civilian purposes. Near the United Nations headquarters today, chemicals were found in a UN office. The material, which is identified as a chemical warfare agent, was removed by a hazmat team. It is believed to have been taken from Iraq's main chemical weapons facility more than a decade ago. The last of the South Korean hostages being held by the Taliban in Afghanistan have been released today. The Christian missionaries were handed over to Red Cross officials. They were part of a group of 23 who were kidnapped on July 19th in eastern Afghanistan. Two of the kidnapped victims were executed. The Afghan Defense Ministry reports that in a southern province, a wanted Taliban insurgent leader has been killed in a U.S.-led raid. Idaho Republican Senator Larry Craig is becoming more isolated from the GOP after his recent arrest in an airport bathroom. Another Republican Senator, John Ensign of Nevada, has suggested that Craig resign. The Idaho Senator has already lost his senior committee positions in the Senate. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential campaign will give $23,000 to charity. The money was received from a donor who has an arrest warrant for fraud. Former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson is expected to announce his 2008 Republican presidential bid on Thursday. There has been much speculation. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, "We must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light." This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The finance ministry in Greece has put a $1.6 billion cost on the recent wildfires. At least 64 people were killed in the fires, which had burned for a week. In California, high temperatures have caused near-record demand for electricity across the state Wednesday. A Stage 1 emergency was called by the state's electric grid manager. Phoenix has set a new record this year of 29 days of temperatures at 110 degrees or higher. Toys R Us is recalling 27,000 Chinese-made Imaginarium wooden coloring cases, which hold crayon and paint sets because the box contains lead. China replaced its finance minister today amidst reports he was involved in a sex scandal. The move comes weeks before a significant Communist Party meeting to set the country's economic policies. The U.S. economy grew at a 4% rate in the April to June quarter, according to the Commerce Department. That growth is higher than the initial government estimates. Sony has introduced a video player version of its Sony Walkman. It is seen as a rival to the iPod media player. Gold is trading at $673.90 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.36 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 51 points, the NASDAQ up 2, the S&P 500 down 6. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes past the hour. Oh, I'm off to a roaring start tonight, aren't I?
But I can't get the time right.
6 minutes after the hour, and I'm only looking straight at the clock. I got to kind of aim through the mic boom stand thing. One of these days when we do video, you'll understand all of this. But then again, who wants to see me and Agnes sitting here naked all the time anyway? Right? Right. Welcome. We've made it to Thursday, and we've got some leftover stuff from prayer meeting last night, as well as some fresh information, fresh Republican silliness, fresh Republican hatefulness, fresh, just fresh. And off the bat, I don't know if it's going to happen yet, but I'll go ahead and mention it now in case it does. I'm hoping that we might have our good friend Greg Pallast on to discuss Katrina 2 years on this evening, or possibly tomorrow evening. I'm expecting a call back just any time now to let Agnes know whether or not that's going to go down. You know, we'll advise you. We're hoping it's going to happen in the second hour of the program. No real way. You know, this is radio on the fly, so it's kind of hard to know. You know. I hate that phrase. You know. But that's part of the plan. And now, speaking of friends of the program. Another friend of the program is a gentleman by the name of Chris Floyd, who has done website Empire Burlesque. He's an excellent writer. I don't know if he's still expatriated in England or not, but he has. And this was this column was sent to me from Empire Burlesque at chris-floyd.com. Chris, just like normal, Floyd, just like normal, with a hyphen in the middle, .com, chrisfloyd.com. An entry by the name of TikTok, countdown to midnight in Persia. Chris writes, day after day, almost hour by hour, fresh confirmation comes of the impending attack on Iran. Yet the same surreal malaise that hung over public affairs before the war of aggression against Iraq has descended again. Everyone knows the war is coming, and nothing will stop it. But the strange, ludicrous shadow play of sham debate goes on, as if there were some kind of political or diplomatic maneuver out there that could deflect the Bush-Cheney junta from its long-chosen course. But nothing will stop them, just as nothing, not even 10 million people in the streets around the world, the largest protest in human history, stop them from the rape of Iraq. It's what they want to do, and they will do it. And that is as sobering a paragraph of English language as I have lately read. What was that phrase? The same surreal malaise that hung over public affairs before the war against Iraq. Do you feel that? Can you feel it just laying on you? It's like the oppressive heat that so many of us have been living through lately, isn't it? You walk outside and the sun feels like a hammer and your shoulders feel like an anvil. And that's what knowing this war is coming with Iran feels like. You got the run-up in the American Legion speech the other day. That we cannot let Iran cause another nuclear holocaust. Memo to George. The only nuclear holocausts that have ever been caused on planet Earth were caused by the United States, buddy. One at Nagasaki, one at Hiroshima. There are museums. You should visit them. We will not allow Iran to cause a nuclear holocaust. There is not one shred of evidence that Iran is anywhere near developing a nuclear weapon. There's even less evidence that Iran wants to develop a nuclear weapon. They've openly stated that they do not desire, they do not seek a nuclear weapon. But that doesn't matter. There sits Pakistan on top of a nuclear arsenal. We're not talking about bombing them, at least George Bush isn't. There sits India. George Bush is trading them the nuclear technology for mangoes. Yeah, really. I mean, I don't make this stuff up. And there's Israel. Israel, sitting on top of a nuclear powder keg. Non-signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, just as India is non-signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. You know, what's the greatest threat in the Middle East? What's the greatest nuclear threat in the Middle East? It has to be Israel, because they're the only ones that have them. But we're going to bomb the snot out of little girls and little boys and guys who sell roses on the corner of Boulevard in Tehran. We're going to destroy their ability to have clean drinking water. We're going to eliminate their electrical grid. Yeah, this is all in the Chris Floyd column as well. According to a study by Dr. Dan Plesch, director of the Center for International Studies and Diplomacy of the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London, and Martin Butcher, former director of the British American Security Information Council. Man, what a mouthful. But he quotes them and their report that says the goal of the attack on Iran, you know, for any of you who are foolish enough to think that it will just be some sort of little surgical strike, the goal, they say, is to, quote, destroy Iran's WMD capabilities, nuclear energy, regime, armed forces, state apparatus, and economic infrastructure within days, if not hours, of President George W. Bush giving the order. Any attack is likely to be on a massive, multi-front scale, but avoiding a ground invasion. Attacks focused on WMD facilities would leave Iran too many retaliatory options, leave President Bush open to the charge of using too little force, and leave the regime intact. U.S. bombers and long-range missiles are ready today to destroy 10,000 targets in Iran in a few hours. U.S. ground air, and marine forces already in the Gulf, Iraq, and Afghanistan can devastate Iranian forces, the regime, and the state at short notice. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Will you weep when it happens? Will you cry? Will you cry for what has become of what had of a nation that had once been an engine for peace? Will you feel deep and abiding sadness for the civilians who will die when Dick Cheney orders their execution? Will you? It matters little whether they kneel on a rug to pray toward Mecca or worship Zoroaster or the divine fire or Ahura Mazda or whether they worship Christ Jesus or the Buddha or any other imaginary being. It matters little. They have chromosome pairs that are identical to yours, different only in the way the genes thereon are arranged. And babies and children and elderly people who have survived all manner of the challenges that is offered by that are offered by life, they will die. They will die in their hundreds. They will die in their thousands, and perhaps even, yea, verily, in their hundreds of thousands, on the whim of a man who was never even elected in the first place. And it will happen. Conventional wisdom now is that the rollout for this war will be the same as the rollout for the Iraq war, because these people, being conservatives and Republicans, have about as much creativity to them as a bag of sphagnum peat moss. They'll do it the same way they did it before. You know that. I know that. It will be slaughter, pure and simple. And of course, American media will not show you the fathers lifting the tattered corpses of their little boys and little girls out of the rubble. They will not show that, the American media. And America will swing again into a brand new war frenzy, just as we do at the beginning of every war, only to experience buyer's remorse some months later. It will be a slaughter. And we don't know what the slaughter may come home to us. You know, we're constantly told that America is just a Swiss cheese of terrorist cells, ready to be activated at a moment's notice. Oh, they're there, they're here, they're everywhere. That guy driving the semi who has the turban wrapped around his head, he might be a terrorist, or a Mexican terrorist, ready to do the bidding of Osama bin Laden at the drop of a hat. Why would you want to incite those terrorist cells to go active by attacking a country that has not lifted a finger against you? Oh, but Bob, they're making the IEDs, and they're giving them to the Shias, and they're using them against us in Iraq. Casus belli. Casus belli. We're screwed. We are well and truly screwed. And, you know, the Labor Day holiday is coming, not this weekend, but the next? Is it this weekend, Labor Day? See, it all runs together for me after a while. But after Labor Day, the ramp-up will come. And, you know, the thing that's going to be most distressing, the thing that is going to be most disturbing, is going to be watching the Democrats knuckle under. and watching Democratic presidential candidates stand up and say, well, Iran really can't be allowed to develop nuclear. It's going to be really disgusting. So I'm just kind of getting myself ready. I'm getting in the mindset for it. But I've got to tell you, that I differ with Chris Floyd in this article in one regard. He says nothing will stop them. Everyone knows the war is coming and nothing will stop it, he says. But the strange, ludicrous shadow play of sham debate goes on. I disagree. There is one thing that can stop this war. There is one thing that can make this war not happen. And you and I both know what it is. We know full well. H.R. 333, is it? Is that the impeachment of Dick Cheney? Begin impeachment proceedings, and they will not be able to do this. Begin impeachment proceedings, and they will know that we are in earnest when we say this war must not happen. Begin impeachment proceedings, and they will be entirely too tied up to start any mischief. What do you think? Do you disagree? Do you agree? Share your thoughts either way. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. Are you ready to be tuned in to whatever source you use for your video news and watch the night light up around Tehran as it did around Baghdad and hear the breathless reporters talking about shock and awe? Are you? You have one chance. One chance and one chance only. They want to ramp up a war, you'd better ramp up your demands for impeachment from your elected representatives. This is fast becoming a matter of life and death. Literally. I saw some pictures of Tehran not too long back. It is a beautiful place. It is a beautiful place. Much as where you live is a beautiful place, much as where I live is a beautiful place, because beautiful places are made beautiful in large part by the people who inhabit them. It's not the street corner, it's the flower cart on the street corner. It's not the springtime park. It's the children frolicking in the springtime park. It is not the boulevard, but the mother pushing a stroller down that boulevard. It is not the buildings, but the people in them. And it is all slated for slaughter if it is inside the territorial confines of Iran. You are witness to the conspiracy to commit murder. Now, in American jurisprudence, being party to a conspiracy to commit murder before that murder can happen, and failing to do something about it, makes you an accessory before the fact, and makes you, in fact, as culpable as the murderer himself. You have a chance putting your voices with those of others to stop this murderer. Will you do it? Will you? Can you? Do you have the energy in you for it? Is it possible? Phone calls every day to every elected representative from the dog catcher on up saying, I expect you to do your job and stop this. To your members of the House of Representatives, whether they're from your district or some other, demanding that impeachment proceedings be begun so as to stop the slaughter of Iran. Because this is going to be a slaughter. This isn't smart bombs and laser-guided weapons. We found out a long time ago that those things are overhyped and they kill civilians just as well as any other weapon. There lies your choice. Will you be an accessory before the fact to murder, knowing the nature of the conspiracy to commit murder that is in its planning stages? Will you sit quietly as the plan for the murder goes forward? Will you? Or would you rather talk about a pervy Idaho senator who played hand jive and footsie in a restroom in Minnesota? Which is more important? You choose. You choose now. And the choice that you make will affect the way you view your life for the rest of your days. Will you be an accessory to murder? Will you sit back and chuckle and giggle about the all too common hypocritical affairs of a dirty little senator, a dirty little Republican from Idaho, or will you get busy and act to stop murder? I don't know how the choice could be made more clear or more stark. Maybe if we got the Tehran phone book and started reading names, understanding that every name we read was a name for whom a death warrant has been signed in Washington, D.C. by George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Perhaps if we could get a hold of the Tehran newspaper and read the birth announcements, maybe then we would all understand that every one of those babies has a price on its head set out by George W. Bush. I'm trying to figure out some way to take away the abstract idea, the abstraction in the idea of war with Iran. School has just started here in the mountains, and in other parts of the country as well, I'm sure. Around noon, you can drive by, and there are children playing on pieces of playground equipment. Look at them as you drive by if you're out. Mentally transpose them to Iran and understand the plans that George W. Bush has for them. Understand that if, in fact, all of these terrorist cells, you know, they walk among us, are real and not a bunch of bogus crap. Understand that when the bombs start falling on Iran, that those terror cells will go active here. Because at that point in time, if Iran has terror cells here, as we are told that they do, but probably don't, just like they don't have a nuclear weapons program. Oh, it's going to be a merry time in the United States, and your civil liberties are going to go down the toilet. There are more things tied to the likelihood of this attack on Iran, this murder of Iran, this rape of the Iranian people, than we can even begin to fathom. What will you do? What is your job as a patriot, as an American, as someone who loves this country as dear as life itself? What is your job? And that is the inquiry with which we begin this program. Want to talk about it? Or does it just make the words freeze in your throat and a pit form in the hollow of your stomach? You know the number, 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweats. Great prices? No sweats. Great looks? No sweats. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music. Billy Shears.
Join us this Saturday at 9 p.m. to midnight for Night Sounds. We'll feature some brand new music, and this week's special segments will include music of the 80s, one-hit wonders, and a new segment with some great smooth jazz selections. And of course, Erica Richards will be on hand for Night Sounds dedications. You can direct your dedication request to Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. Be there this Saturday night at 9 p.m. right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you. logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Sit down, Waldo.
Minutes before the hour, I'm Bob. I don't think that's quite the image I had in mind when I was talking about children in schoolyards, Agnes. You're twisted, dear. But you look so cute in that Hot for Teacher bikini. What are we going to do? What? Yeah, I know. Let's see. I was just reminded by one of the folks in the chat room that there is a story circulating that a National Guard unit, a full unit from the National Guard, I believe Florida. I don't have the story in front of me. Somebody could, if you wouldn't mind, oblige me by sending the story along. I don't do web searches on the fly very well during the show. But is being posted to Washington, D.C. for an entire year. And the only question you can ask is, and I don't think it's unreasonable, why? Why would we need to do that? What kind of unit is it? Why are they being taken from their families, from the loving arms of their children, their wives, their husbands, mothers, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles, nieces, friends, to do a year in Washington, D.C.? Why? Why are they being, if it is indeed Florida, why are they being pulled from Florida in the heart and soul of hurricane season when they may well be desperately needed at any time? Isn't there another one boiling out there somewhere between South America and Africa, even as we speak? Now that the water's got nice and hot, and the currents slam together and form that astonishing rotation? Why? Why? And, of course, if you're wondering why, you might do well to pay attention to some of the little individual stories that are taking place. Do you remember, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago? It all runs together for me after a while. Everything is 3 or 4 weeks ago now. Even if it was yesterday. It's like being down south and ordering a Coke. Well, what kind? Orange, grape, Dr. Pepper? You know, because it's all Coke. Everything's 3 or 4 weeks ago now. We had a story, and we even had the audio. You remember this, Agnes? Of the family, the man and his wife, in Asheville, North Carolina, where the sheriff's deputy was battering down their house, battering down their door, because of alleged flag desecration. You remember that? Asheville, North Carolina. Well, we've got another Asheville story. I don't think it's the same people this time. just another brave pair of patriots. In this case, it's Jonas and Kendra Phillips, who have grown sick and tired of watching the criminal thugs who inhabit the White House and the executive branch of government. So they did what they thought they should, and what the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America guarantees them the right to do. They got out a big piece of cardboard, and they wrote three words on it. Impeach Bush Cheney is what they wrote. Jesus, am I beginning to sound like Paul Harvey? Somebody stop me before I say page two. No, they made a cardboard sign. It says impeach Bush Cheney. So they take their little sign, and they go out onto the sidewalk of the Haywood Road Bridge over I-240 in Asheville, North Carolina. They did it several times this summer. And Kendra was standing on the bridge about 4 o'clock at the beginning of this month when she was approached by a police officer. She asked him whether she was doing something wrong, and he said no, but they'd gotten a complaint from one person who called in 4 times. That's a Bush voter, okay? Bush voters, as you, it's easy to find out, you know, I've got, like I said, I've got a little right-wing stalker now. And they won't engage in direct dialogue, debate, discussion. They scream a lot. That's their response to any rational attempt to discuss policy in this country. So, you know, some wingnut had called in 4 times to the cops about her impeach Bush Cheney sign. So, Jonas Phillips, he would go and hold the sign up in the mornings on the way to work about 7:30. He'd go for about 20 minutes to the bridge, which is near where he works. And he'd been at the bridge for about 15 minutes, because see, the interstate passes underneath it, so you can, you know, hold the sign up, kind of like the freeway blogger does. You've probably seen his work around the internet. August 15th, he'd been there for about 10 or 15 minutes. A police car pulls up and parks behind him, and Officer Russell Crisp asks him for his ID, and Phillips says he obliged. Fact of the matter is, Officer Crisp should have had no legal right to ask him for that ID. Officer Russell Crisp asked him how long he planned to be there, and Mr. Phillips said about 5 minutes more, since he had to be at work about 8. Mr. Phillips said, am I doing anything wrong? Officer Crisp says he's waiting for a sergeant to arrive. 2 minutes later, Sergeant Randy Riddle. Jesus, where do they get these names? Asheville, North Carolina. Sergeant Charlie Cornpone. No, Randy Riddle showed up. First thing he says is, put down the sign, put your hands behind your back, you're under arrest. Jesus. So Jonas Phillips asks him, you know, why? Get the children out of the room. I don't want any complaints or anything like that. This is journalism. This is a quote of the pretty mouth of Sergeant Randy Riddle of the Asheville, North Carolina Police Department. Agnes, I don't want you jumping out of your skin over this, okay? The first words out of his mouth were, put down the sign, put your hands behind your back, you're under arrest. Phillips says, why? And Sergeant Randy Riddle of the Asheville, North Carolina Police Department says, I'm sick of this shit. You're going to get your 15 minutes of fame now, buddy. So he says, why again? And Sergeant Riddle says, you're obstructing the sidewalk. He turns to the other policeman and he says, Officer Crisp, you just saw a man walk by me with no problem, no luck. And at that point, Sergeant Randy Riddle, big tough man, protector of the homeland, is shoving his nameplate in Phillips' face, saying, "That's right, Sergeant Riddle, buddy, get it right." So they took him to downtown to the police station in Asheville. They booked him. You know, criminal possession of sign.
Obstructing the sidewalk.
No one ever reads him his rights. And they question him several times about,
"What are you affiliated with any groups? We need to know any groups you're a member of. You member of Veterans for Peace?"
Jonas Phillips says, "No. I'm just, it's me and my wife, and we're thinking it's our patriotic duty to do this. I'm not a member of any group." Police Chief William Hogan said, and this is from the Progressive, an inquiry by Matt Rothschild. You've heard his stuff on the network before. Responded to Matt Rothschild by saying,
"We want citizens to be able to protest and exercise their freedom of speech. What is important for everyone to understand is that in exercising this right, you cannot endanger the public or infringe upon the rights of others. The Asheville Police Department is a professional, well-trained, and accredited agency that's committed to protecting individuals' constitutional rights. Our department has assisted with untold rallies and protests to protect citizens' opportunity for free speech while maintaining safety of all individuals present. In this case, the actions of Mr. Phillips were impeding the flow of traffic and endangering motorists by holding a sign over Interstate 240 during rush hour traffic, which could have caused serious traffic crash. It is unfortunate that this event and the motives of the officers have been misconstrued to represent an act by the Asheville Police Department to deprive some of their constitutional rights." That business about impeding the flow of traffic, that's because Mr. Phillips crossed the street with his sign.
Uh-huh. But there wasn't any traffic there.
"The department has received multiple complaints over a two-week period last month about individuals holding up sign at that same spot."
That's the press release from the Asheville Police Department. And they also said they're considering charging Mr. Phillips under a different North Carolina law that prohibits hanging signs on an overpass. And the proof, they say, that he was making a nuisance or making a dangerous situation is that people were seeing his sign as they drove underneath him on I-240, and they were honking. In other words, they were manifesting their support for impeaching George Bush and Dick Cheney. Welcome to America. Welcome, welcome, welcome. No. Welcome to Bush-merica. Welcome to Dick-merica, in either instance spelled with three K's. I got a photograph, you know, when I see this kind of stuff, it makes me a little bit crazy. I got a photograph earlier today, and talking about photographs on the radio is, of course, dancing about architecture. We all understand that now. I got a photograph of Larry Craig and John Ashcroft and, oh God, I don't have it in front of me now. I forget who the other right-wing goober-headed freak was. But they're all wearing American flag neckties and American flag suspenders and other American flag clothing paraphernalia. The correspondent said, "Am I the only one left who still gets pissed off when I see this kind of stuff? Whatever happened to flag etiquette?" Now, mind you, every election year, some right-wing, goober-headed freak will go before the VFW and the American Legion, and they will tell, we need a flag desecration amendment. And yet, at the same time, they'll probably be standing there with an American flag necktie, an American flag suspenders, and maybe an American flag hanky. And, just as was the case with Larry Craig's mugshot, probably wearing an American flag lapel pin. And, of course, that was the nature of the charge against the man and his wife in Asheville, North Carolina, when the sheriff's deputy beat down the door. Desecration of the flag. And yet Republicans show up for political rallies, crass political rallies, literally decked out in the flag, and somehow that's not desecration. On the other hand, a man with a hand-lettered homemade cardboard sign that says, impeach Bush Cheney, well, that is, let's see. That is creating a public disturbance. And that is creating a public danger. And that is impeding the flow of traffic. You know, you gotta wonder about Sergeant Randy Riddle. All of these people, I'm sorry, this is just the disconnect that is my life and is my world. How does Sergeant Randy Riddle stand to look in the mirror when he gets home at night? I don't know. It simply astonishes me. Blows me away. That you could... I mean... Look at this... Look at this line. I'm sick of this shit. You're going to get your 15 minutes of fame now, buddy. You're under arrest. Meanwhile, this unit from the National Guard is going to be billeted in Washington, D.C. for a year. Why Washington, D.C.? Are they afraid of the protesters? So we're getting ready to attack Iran. Free speech is being trampled around the country. What's the right wing worried about? Why, I've got one of their little press releases right here in front of me. Subject line, Bush missing deadline for border fence interview opportunity. Bush administration still missing deadline for promised first 70 miles of physical border. Oh my God, the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps. They're challenging the Bush administration because they haven't built the fence yet. We need a fence. We got to have a fence. Lord God in heaven. I mean, is this a case of you know, the closing the barn door after the horses are gone? Okay, let's go to the phones. Susan has some information for us. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How
I
are
just
you?
Thought you would. You're gonna love this. Would you and the reader and listeners like the email address of the Asheville, North Carolina Police Department?
Why, sure, certainly, of course. And I know that everyone who writes to inquire about this fascist thug, Sergeant Randy Riddle, will be very, very nice when they do so. Otherwise, Sergeant Riddle may come to their doorstep and beat the snot out of them.
Well, if he comes to my doorstep, he'll be greeted with a shotgun. Hey, wait a minute. Now, you bust into my door illegally. That's perfectly legal. I didn't say the shotgun would be loaded. I just say he would be greeted with it.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
can use it as a clock.
So you've got an email, Addie, for the Asheville, North Carolina Police Department.
It is internet.police@... Asheville, and that's spelled Asheville, NC, as in North Carolina, .gov.
Say it again. internet/police at Asheville.
Asheville. That's Asheville, as in North Carolina, .gov. Now, if you want to make your opinions known to the city of Asheville, as in the state government or the city government,
mm-hmm.
you can do that too. That's at www.AshevilleNC.gov.
Very good. Very, very good.
I've already emailed them.
Well, very nice. And I'm sure you were incredibly polite.
Actually, no, I wasn't. I told them the city needed a new name. It should be now known as Naziville.
Or Nuremville. I'm sorry. Well, okay, well, Susan, I appreciate it. Thank you, dear.
You're more than welcome.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
You want to fire off an email? Be very nice. You know, you don't want to get Randy Riddle all riled. Don't get Randy Riddle riled. Oh, I'm a professional broadcaster because I can do alliterative things like that, can't I? Yeah. An email rolls in. I love you guys. If the sign said Acts 2:38 or hell, the result would be the same, right? No, it wouldn't be the same. Not at all. Because that's trying to save souls. And I'm sure Randy Riddle is a fine, upstanding Christian. Oh, and by the way, the photograph of the flag rape, it was three guys with microphones. It was Larry Craig, Trent Lott, and Orrin Hatch singing "Let the Eagle Is Soar" or whatever, covered up in flag desecration. Just flags everywhere. Ugh. Okay, I tell you what, we're gonna forego the news here. We have on the phone with us, and boy, I appreciate the short notice. We're joined on the phone by America's best investigative journalist, Greg Palast. Greg, thanks for dropping by on such short notice. I do appreciate it.
For you, Bob, anything, name it.
Oh, bless your heart. I wanted to get in touch with you primarily because this is, of course, the second anniversary of what I consider to be the very deliberate rape of the Lower Ninth Ward and the Gulf Coast region following Katrina. You've been there a lot of times in the interim, and I wanted to just get your impression of where we are today and why we are where we are.
Well, there are 89,000 families still living in an aluminum Guantanamo, you know, in that mobile home gulag that Bush's FEMA and Homeland Security has set up. These people cannot return, are not allowed to return. Let's remember that New Orleans, you know, for all the pictures of poverty, is still a working class town that has the South's only deep water port. And in addition, if they built part of the space shuttle there, those people cannot return. They can't put their mobile homes on their own property. They're just not even allowed to return back. I mean, they don't want those people back, and that's just the cold truth. In fact, you know what the FEMA designation is for the 89,000 families that can't return?
No.
They call them Democrats. So you understand what's going on here. This is voter purging by other means. If they lived in Bangladesh after the tsunami, they'd be back. But because it's Bush America, they ain't coming back, and they're never going to be allowed back. And that's one of the things I've been investigating, including the fact, by the way, and there's some, by the way, some Democrats in connivance, like the mayor, Ray Nagin,
mm-hmm.
who was a Republican, switched to the Democratic Party to run for mayor. And, I know his parents are African American, but he's part of a small African American elite that fears the working class and poor African Americans returning. So he's in grand connivance with George, because if they return, he won't get their votes either. So that's part of the story that's going down.
Now, you've documented a lot of this, haven't you, Greg? You've got a new DVD out, Big Easy to Big Empty, is that right?
That's right. In fact, you can see a big hunk of it, because I'm not trying to keep it all secret, Big Easy to Big Empty, How the White House Drowned New Orleans. at gregpalace.com. That streams. It's out on DVD. In addition, of course, the new edition of Armed Madhouse, my book, which is the new subtitle, by the way, is Armed Madhouse from Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild, because I added a chapter about New Orleans and what really has gone down there.
In many ways, this is, I recall the line about the J.R.R. Tolkien.
Like in a movie, it was like set up.
Well, I've got a piece of email here from our listener, Marty, who says, you know, there's some good to be taken out of this because we know that it will be rebuilt at warp speed.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush this morning is expected to publicly address the crisis for homeowners trying to avoid defaulting on their subprime loans. During a press conference, the president will also introduce reforms to the system. An Australian newspaper quotes U.S. General David Petraeus saying the troop surge in Iraq is working. The general says the U.S. strategy is reducing violence and al-Qaeda's influence in the region. Iraqi officials today announced about 1,500 prisoners will be released from the country's jails during the holy month of Ramadan. Goodwill gestures are traditional at that time. Ramadan begins in mid-September. In Camp Pendleton, a military court heard testimony from a Marine who said his sergeant ordered him to execute a room full of crying Iraqi women and children during the Haditha massacre 2 years ago. The court is determining whether the sergeant should face a court-martial for his role in the incident. The New York Times says government court documents allege American-owned Lee Dynamics is suspected of bribing officials to win more than $11 million in contracts to build warehouses in Iraq. The U.S. Army last month suspended business with the firm. 100 or so Pakistani soldiers Islamic militants claimed to have kidnapped yesterday have been found safe. Authorities say the men were escorting a food convoy when bad weather forced them to seek refuge with villagers in an isolated region in southern Afghanistan. In Des Moines, a county judge has ruled unconstitutional Iowa's 10-year-old ban on gay marriage. Within hours of the decision, gay couples began filing for marriage licenses. In California, lawmakers have approved a bill making it illegal for employers to require workers to implant identification devices under their skin. The devices are similar to the microchips used to ID pets. Legislators say forcing the implants on employees is a violation of